Welcome to AUSA's Army Matters podcast, focusing on what's important to the total Army community. Today's episode is brought to you by GEICO. This Military Appreciation Month, GEICO would like to thank all current and retired military personnel. As a member of AUSA, you could qualify for a special discount. It's GEICO's way of saying thanks for all you do.
Hello, everyone. I'm Sergeant Major of the Army, retired Dan Daly, and welcome to this edition of Soldier Today podcast. Today, we're talking about quite a few topics that are relevant to our soldiers and their families. On our podcast today, we'll dive into subjects of financial literacy in our Army, Army sexual assault and prevention, an update on the Army's response to the COVID-19, and we'll also talk readiness of our Army, enlisted promotions, and the Army Combat Fitness Test. Each of these hot topics have been in the news and continue to evolve and move forward. All of these subjects directly impact soldiers and leaders as our Army continues training units to maintain readiness and executing worldwide operations. So these are important subjects to discuss, and the best person to have the discussion with is our Sergeant Major of the Army, Michael A. Princeton. SMA, it's great to have you back, and thanks for joining us today.
Oh, thanks for having me. It's always a pleasure as we do this and just kind of inform the Army on what we have going on. So thanks for having me.
Well, SMA, I know your time is precious and you're really busy, but it's important for our listeners to hear the updates straight from the top, and we appreciate you taking the time. So, Sergeant Major, in the interest of time, let's jump right in. You know, thanks again for joining us here. But before we dig into these important subjects, I was wondering if you'd give us a quick update on some of the key things our soldiers have been doing since the last time we talked.
Well, you know, we're pretty busy. we still have a lot of things going on in the Army. We've got really the big ones are what we're doing with the COVID deployments. We, as the Army, had the first active duty unit that goes out to California to help with vaccines. And we call those type one and type two, type one being a larger. And then, you know, they were given COVID vaccines, and the goal for one of those type organizations is 6,000 a day. And since then, you know, all the services have deployed their active Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines out across the country to help with doing the vaccines. So we still have that going on. And we also have soldiers from our Army National Guard in the Capitol. We deployed in January 25,000 troops here to the Capitol region. And we still have some here in the Capitol region that are here in support of the nation's capital. So we saw that most of those 25,000 left, but some stayed, and they're here for a little bit longer. So we still have all these things going on. We still have deployments, and there's just abundance of things going on. There's never a shortage of need for the United States Army. So we stay busy, and we stay here to help, not just abroad, but here in the homeland also.
Well, Sergeant Major, our soldiers are busy, and they're hard at work, and the president did mention we're coming out of Afghanistan, and we've been there for almost 2 decades now. And that's an incredibly long time. And I'm sure there's a lot of work to get all those soldiers and our civilians over there home safe. Sergeant Major, you mentioned COVID-19. And of course, we're still deep in this fight against the pandemic, and the Army's been out front since the beginning. As a matter of fact, one of the great soldiers wearing a U.S. Army uniform gave me my second shot today at Fort Belvoir. And I want to give a shout out to PFC Ruiz and the entire team down there in Belvoir doing a phenomenal job. But SMA, reports have come out that some members of the military have been reluctant to take the vaccine. Can you comment on where we are with issuing the vaccine to soldiers and the importance behind vaccinating against this pandemic?
Yeah, and hopefully everybody got to see, we did like a Facebook live event. We had one of the doctors on there, and we actually had two soldiers on there that said they didn't want to take the vaccine. So we just kind of asked them, and I said, you know, why aren't you doing it? And they gave reasons. We're not trying to shame anybody into taking the vaccine. We just want to inform them. And we're doing well. We really, as a nation, need to get the vaccine. So what came out of some of that we did on the live event was that there's this perception that you get the virus and it's in there. And what the doctor said, it's actually not true. Is what we're doing is teaching your body naturally to resist the virus. So you get the first shot if you get the two-shot version. And I'm telling you this because you got your second shot. Unfortunately, it's the second shot usually they get you. And it's not bad. It's just like a 24-hour. But what the vaccine does is teaches your body to resist this naturally. And then it kind of goes away after the shot's been given. You don't have this virus in your body for the rest of your life. So it teaches your body. And then when you get that second shot, your body's like, hey, I remember this. And it kind of goes, wait a minute, what's going on? So a lot of people that I've talked to on the second shot, they kind of feel crappy for maybe 12 hours. I'm sure for you, it'll be perfectly fine. But for me, you know, I felt like not 100%. I didn't stay at home. I just felt a little sluggish and it wasn't anything too bad. But it's because your body is getting used to how to react to the virus if they see this again. So that's number one. So this virus isn't like lingering in. And that's what the doctor said. But most importantly, we just need everybody to take it till we get to a point where we can get to the herd immunity. If you don't take it, you might get COVID-19. And we've said all along, we're fairly healthy in this. So we got a younger population with soldiers. That's just how we are. And, you know, we don't get as sick and then we don't stay as sick as long. But it's not about you. It's about those people you might infect. If you get it, you're asymptomatic, and then you spread it to some people because you didn't get the virus, you could really harm some other folks, and that's not just in the Army. So I'd encourage everybody, if you get a chance, to kind of go back and pull up what we did on Facebook Live, because there were some really good questions and answers on how we covered on all things COVID-19.
Yes, man, I agree. We all got a part in this, and you're not just protecting yourself. Like you said, you're protecting others by getting a vaccine. So you stop being a carrier and we can rid ourselves of this pandemic and get back to the great things that we most enjoyed prior to being in this.
If we could get more vaccinations, we'll actually see less of those mutations going on of the COVID. So when we have less people vaccinated, the virus is able to mutate more frequently because it keeps spreading. And the more it spreads, the more it mutates. And then that makes it harder to vaccinate from. But right now, we're seeing the vaccinations that we have are very helpful. But that's the other piece of this, is not just about protecting others. It's less mutations would cause us to go a lot faster if we have more people vaccinated, because then it wouldn't be able to go ahead and morph into something new. And that's another reason why it's really important. I just wanted to highlight that too.
No, that's a very important point, SMA. I appreciate your highlighting that, because you're right. We got to kill the virus. And the best way to do that is make a resistance in everybody's body to it. SMA, I'm going to shift gears on you a lot today. And I know our listeners are going to be like, whoa, they're changing topics, but we got a lot to discuss. And I know our listeners want to hear about all these great, important topics. So SMA, shifting gears. For years, data has shown that many of the issues that arise in our lives of our soldiers and their families stem from a lack of financial well-being. And in recent years, the Army has instituted several steps to improve what we call financial literacy of our soldiers and their families. But I know that you're working on some initiatives. What's the Army currently doing to assist soldiers with financial literacy?
I've said for years, like probably ever since I've been in the Army, for enlisted, I just don't think we've done well at communicating what we need to do with financial literacy and stability. And I think a lot of the things in our life would just go better if we just knew how to manage our finances better. I've really put a lot of effort into this in the last 18 months, and I'm really excited. I've been working with the folks here in the R staff on helping us go with this. Another thing that helped us out is in the National Defense Authorization Act, they said, here's some things that you need when you need to get some financial training, initial military training, first duty station. And when you do a PCS, you need to get some financial training, promotions, when you get married, birth of a child. So first of all, is the one thing we want to do is make sure that we're following what the National Defense Authorization Act told us to do. But more important than that is that our soldiers know how to manage their finances over time. So we're starting to put this in the basic leader course. That's out. It's alive and well, and we've got that training going. And then my goal is that you will get financial literacy training all the way in all PME, all the way up to the Sergeant Major's Academy. And that's going to happen. The harder part that we still just don't have full implementation on is, when do I do that training for the birth of a child? What triggers that? We know that it says to do it, but could the system say, hey, you need to do this financial literacy training, as opposed to, I just know that I have to do it. So we still got a little bit of ways to go. I think we're going to be mostly complete with how we do this over the next 3 or 4 months. But I'm extremely excited about this, because this is really important for the future of our soldiers.
SMA, I can't agree more. I would have actually very much appreciated more financial education as I was growing up. And You know, when we came up through the ranks, it was learned by mistake, unfortunately, sometimes, or just ignorance. And then to provide that education, I know, is going to go a long way to helping our soldiers and preventing the incidents that stem from those financial literacy issues.
Hey, everyone. We hope you're enjoying the show. We'd like to take a moment to thank GEICO for making this episode possible. This Military Appreciation Month, GEICO would like to thank all current and retired military personnel. As a member of AUSA, you could qualify for a special discount. It's GEICO's way of saying, thanks for all you do.
SMA, again, shifting gears, because we don't have you for much time today, but the Army's been battling sexual assault for some time. And this is an issue that can have a profound effect on our ranks. We've seen that. SMA, have we seen a rise in sexual assault and sexual harassment cases in recent months? And what's the Army's plan to rid this problem within our ranks?
The rise in the numbers are, as you know, is always hard to tell. You know, it's like, is that a late report? Does that count for this year? Was that something that happened before they come in the military? Is that something happening right now? And then by the time we normally get the study, it's a year or two data before. So we still believe that the sexual harassment, sexual assault is on the rise, but I can't give you a good data because it's really still hard to tell because some of that is still kind of late in report. But what we really need to do, in my personal opinion, is that we've got to do better at prevention. And some people would say, well, we've got all these programs, and we do. We have sexual assault response coordinator, but it's the response coordinator, and we have a victim advocate that still responds. And when I really did the digging into this recently is that 91% of all our funding or actions were towards response. Now, bottom line, I want us to have world-class response, without a doubt. When this happens, we need to take care of our soldiers. But I think in order to stop this, we have to do better with prevention. So I've coined it now. It's called the big P. You know, big P is prevention and go with little r. And I think when we establish the People First Task Force to look at SHARP, when we know our soldiers, they're part of a cohesive team that's highly trained and fit, I think that's prevention. We have to get more upstream so that we prevent it. So we have less sexual assault and sexual harassment. The latest reporting that I have that is a little bit old has said we are still on the rise with sexual assault and sexual harassment. But I really think the way we need to look at this is do better at prevention.
Sergeant Major, talking prevention, your initiative, This Is My Squad. How does that mentality enable that discussion down at that level? And how does this mentality empower our junior leaders to take ownership of this issue?
I think it's as simple as the personal pronoun of my, you know, my squad shows possession. These are my soldiers, but also my leader. Trust goes both ways. It's up and down. It's like, I trust that this is my squad leader and I trust that I can tell them I'm having a problem. I think that's one of the biggest things. When you build a cohesive team that's founded in trust, I'll actually tell you something that's going on and I trust that you're going to help me with it. And then as a leader, you got to say, well, that soldier's empowered me and I'm willing to go to the level and say, these are my soldiers and I'm their leader and they trusted me. Now it's my responsibility to help them through this. A lot of times we want to give it to somebody else. We say, hey, if I have a harassment or assault, I say, go over to the SARC or the VA. And you still have to do that, but wouldn't it be great if I took them? But that's still response, in my opinion. Prevention gets after when I build a cohesive team, we have the trust and confidence in each other, and we ensure that we have soldiers that don't want to harass, and they will not harass, and we have soldiers that will not sexually assault another soldier because they belong to a cohesive team. And that's where I think we're headed with This Is My Squad. It's about having ownership that everybody's part of that team, and everybody's a valued member of the team, and that's how we treat each other. And then we'll get ahead, and we won't have to have these sexual harassment and sexual assault claims because they're just not happening.
Well said, SMA. SMA, like you said time and time again, everything that happens within the squad affects readiness. In the midst of a pandemic, tackling things like sexual assault, racial discrimination, inclusion, extremism, how is the Army doing at maintaining its readiness to accomplish its wartime mission?
It goes to a couple of things that some people get confused. I'll say people first when people hear that, sometimes they hear people first versus readiness. And actually, it's the exact opposite. It's not people first versus readiness. It's people first equals readiness. And I'd like to visualize this very quickly. If you had a weight bar and you had a whole squad and you had, you know, let's just use nine. So you have nine, so a soldier squad, you had 200 pounds on that bar and all nine were holding it, it'd be easy to hold. So that's readiness. You got a strong squad, you can carry the weight, whatever that task is, they can do it. And if you wanted somebody to go and leave, you could go to eight, still easy. But what if you took out one for sexual harassment? What if you took out one for racism? Now you're down to three or four people on that bar and it's really hard to hold. And are you ready? Could I just do anything with that weight? Probably not. Because when you build the foundation and you don't have those things, it doesn't take away those people out of your squad. You're a more ready squad. You can train as a squad. You can train as a team and then you're stronger together. So that people first is readiness. You build from the individuals, then you go to squad. And if you tried to build a house from the roof starting down, no, you don't do that. You build the foundation. And I think the people and the squad is the base, and you got a strong foundation, you're going to have great readiness. If that foundation's weak, I don't think you're going to have a lot of readiness because your people aren't there. They're not going to be ready. And that's kind of how I look at it. And I think that's the best way we need to look at it.
Well said again, SMA. SMA, again, changing gears a little bit. I was scrolling through the internet, and I read a recent article about upcoming changes to promotion boards, always in the minds of our soldiers about how they're going to get promoted. Can you give our listeners a rundown on these changes and how they impact the force and what our soldiers need to do to prepare for them?
There's been a lot of changes to a lot of the promotion boards, but I'll just kind of talk about one of the promotion board changes. The one I'm really keyed in on is from specialist to sergeant and then sergeant to staff sergeant on that promotion board. And we put out an ALRAC and said, we want you, when you appear, this kind of goes with my squad. We talk about my squad, but when you would go into the promotion board, what you would see is somebody that comes in and then talks about them. Tell me about you. Tell me about your service in the Army. It's, oh, I went to this location and I did this. I. We're changing that. I don't want us to do that anymore. You come in, let's talk about those that you lead. How many children do they have? Where do they live off post? Have you been to their rooms? What are their strengths and weaknesses of those in your squad? Do you know them? And then the second one is, how do we ask the questions? Like the rope memory is like, okay, what regulation covers uniform wear and appearances? Or do we give them a situational question and can they react in the appropriate way based off the scenario that we were given? Again, this is all about teaching those sergeants on how we want sergeants that know their soldiers. We want sergeants when their soldiers are struggling, they know where to go and what to do. And that's just one of those things, especially from the specialist to the sergeant, sergeant to staff sergeant, the promotion boards, that we've made those changes in the recent past that we really need everyone to focus in on.
Well, SMA, you know, every single time we're together and we let soldiers write in questions or you're in a forum, this question always comes up. So I got to throw it in here because I don't want to break tradition. ACFT, we have to talk about it, SMA, the Army Combat Fitness Test. So recent changes, real quick, why did the Army decide to make changes and what's some of the feedback you're receiving from the field?
Okay. And since it comes up every time, I'm still going to leave with the same thing. Take the ACFT. So it's like, okay, and I'm looking. So we may not be using those scores, but I can clearly ask in the system of record, and I'm going to pull that data and say, who's taking it? I'm just going to start with my own building, who's in the R staff, and then the NOMSAR majors and say, hey, who's taking ACFT? And I'm pulling that data out of the DTMS. I think that's part of the struggle. It's this mental block is that, you know, the fear of the unknown. Well, let's just make it known. We've been telling you for years. So I'm still saying, take the ACFT. We did make some recent changes to simplify it a couple ways. So we had version 2.0, then we just rolled out version 3.0. In 2.0, we said the plank is temporary, and we just said, hey, make it permanent. Just going to be when you come up, you're going to say, hey, I want to do leg tucks or do a plank. I still believe the leg tuck is the exercise we want you to do, but you have an option. And then we were all over the place. We had bands, we wanted black, silver, gold, and we had groups. And I think for now, just simplify it. Here's what the goal is: to stay in the Army. 360, 60 in each event, six events. So that's still the baseline standard. This is the fitness we need. So that's the biggest thing we said. And then some people think that we changed it, still not age and gender neutral. It's actually still age and gender neutral, still one score. For those that aren't really familiar, like they forgot the APFT. So if I did 50 push-ups and then somebody else did 50 push-ups and then somebody else did 50 push-ups, you would get three different scores. So the ACFT is still, if you get 340 on the maximum deadlift, three repetitions, that's going to be a score of 100 points. So that actually didn't change. But how do we use that? We actually never defined it. We never said, you know, how do we use it? And that's where people say, well, it's now got some gender in there, but the score is still the score. But what we said is that we're just once a year, we're going to say in October, the physical year, we're going to say, here's where you're at by your gender. Are you in the platinum group? That's in the top 1%. And then we just echelon them there. You got platinum, gold, silver, bronze, and then green. Green is good job. You passed the test. And then if you did 50% in your group as a man, and then if you're at the top 25%, if you're in the top 10 or the top one, platinum being the top 1% in the Army in your gender. And then we did the same thing for the women on their side. That would be 1%. If you're in the platinum and then gold, 10%, and then echelon in the same way. So we kind of made some changes, but we could use that. So if we didn't have personal pronouns on an NTOR and you just heard, saw platinum, you'd say, well, that person did extremely well on the ACFT. And we truly believe that over time, we'll see those bands come together. We'll see that men and women are starting to score. The differences will get closer. That's what we believe, but we need some time to do the test. I'm really confident that this is the last of the changes we're going to do, and it's just going to be take the test. We need to stabilize all the changes. I think this is it. We're still looking at March 22, meaning 1 April of 22. It is for record and for administrative means that you will take the test. So we're still on track. I'm confident we're still on that track, and we just need people, once again, we've told the whole Army to take the test, and we're still there. So please, again, take the ACFT.
Well, thanks, SMA, and thanks again for your time today. We know you're incredibly busy, and the Army and our soldiers are doing incredible things for this nation throughout the country and around the world. SMA Grinson, it's always a pleasure to have you with us, and we welcome to have you back. We know we will in the future. I'd like to give you the last words. Do you have any final thoughts you'd like to share with our listeners today?
You know, I really appreciate it, and, you know, I'm still proud to be your SMA and everyone's SMA, and I remind our leaders, you know, the focus in on our people, get to know them, bring us together. And we got to continuously do this. We got to get to know those people staying right next to them, ask them how they grew up, ask them where they come from. That doesn't make you I've heard this term, a soft leader. It's just leadership. Knowing your folks and knowing the people that are around you is just good leadership. And I think the more we can do this, we'll have less misunderstandings about who we are, and we're going to be a stronger Army for it and a stronger nation. So, Dan, as always, thank you for having me, and I'm really proud to be your Sergeant Major of the Army.
SMA, thank you for your leadership. And just to let you know, here at Soldier Today, for every single person we have on, that's the first thing we do. We ask them to tell us a little bit about themselves in honor of what we think is important and the right thing you're doing across the Army, because people first does equal readiness. There you heard it, ladies and gentlemen, the 16th Sergeant Major of the Army, Sergeant Major Michael A. Grinston. Our time has come to an end to close this edition of Soldier Today podcast. All of us here at the Association of United States Army want to thank SMA Grinston for joining us for this great update on many of the ongoing initiatives across the Army. As Army alums, I can say from all of us across the country, thank you and all you do and our soldiers for what they do every single day. Thank you for continuing the proud traditions of our Army that makes us the greatest land force in the world.
To all our listeners, thanks for joining us. Be sure to subscribe to the Army Matters podcast on iTunes and everywhere podcasts are found. The Army Matters podcast series is brought to you by the Association of the United States Army, the U.S. Army's professional association, member supported, Army connected.
Visit us at AUSA.org for more information or to become a member. Your membership helps AUSA continue to carry out its mission to educate, inform, and connect with the Total Army, our industry partners, and our supporters of a strong national defense. For questions or to provide topic recommendations, email us at podcast@AUSA.org. Have a great Army Day. Hooah.